If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the presence of the one divine beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. Today, our seminar topic is, this is your quantum leap into freedom. Merit and grace have brought you here. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call forward your own integration of your soul and spirit, incorporating it into every cell consciously of your physical biosphere. Take another deep breath. Own and occupy your divinity right here and right now. Let everything that is not true about you dissolve in the light of that evocation that you place forward for yourself. If anything is not clear within your consciousness, ask right now for the clearing. Deep breath. And see whatever it is go like dark clouds dissolving into the pink and golden light of divine love. And there it simply dissolves. Release everything that is not true within you to divine loving, because that is truth. Now let's find that place within yourself that is your source of being. Understand, when we say the word being, we're not talking about something that you're being, like a man or a woman or this or that. We're talking about it in the sense of your source essence, your true authentic existence itself. So it's that place that knows you exist. We all have that sense. We all know that we exist. So find that place within yourself, because that's the firm rock on which you need to base your identity and your security and your sense of self. So take a deep breath and sink deep within yourself into the silence. Sink deeper and deeper until you find that place of deep inner stillness and peace. It's not a location, it's a state of inner quietude. You could think of it as diving deep beneath the agitated waves of the surface of life, into that place that remains solid and anchored. And that is your place and your source of true existence. That is the place that's been termed Sat, as in Sat Chit Ananda, being, awareness, bliss. That is our true state. So this place that you contact as the place of being is called in Sanskrit Sat, truth, or Satyam, truth. That truth which changes not. So being is the truth of existence. That eternal state that is untouched by time and circumstance. Now, you can connect with it by going deep into your inner silence, but there's other ways to connect as well. Perhaps many ways. You have to sort of find your way yourself. But in the book, The Power of Now, by Eckhart Tolle, he shows you how to identify with your internal energy body. There's a body of energy inside your physical form, but not limited to it. And personally, I find that's the easiest way to connect with yourself as citta, or consciousness itself. So you have the sat, and you have the chit. And of course, the ananda, the bliss, comes when you are centered in the place of true consciousness from which you find your eternal existence. So, to find this place is very simple. You simply focus on the energy to begin with in your hands, which is quite easy. You have so many nerve endings in your hands or your feet. And then, when you found the energy inside your hands or your feet, you begin to experience the energy inside your physical body in its entirety. You'll, of course, need to practice this if you've not already done so after we go off the air. So I'm just giving you some ways that you can access that. But you'll find when you've located that internal energy body, you have transcended the mind. That's what's so marvelous, is that it connects you immediately to your source of authentic being and also places you deep in that inner stillness that's beyond the mind with its monkey jumping here and there behavior. Now, there's another way too that's very simple, and that is to connect your authentic being through gratitude and appreciation. Nearly every form of suffering comes from disappointed expectations that we place out, hoping something or someone or something that is different outside of ourselves will change our situation. And that, of course, leads to more and more frustration and disappointment. So to shift from expectation to gratitude and appreciation, you bypass, you see, the unhappy self that is constantly grumbling about something. And that unhappy self is the false self or ego. And it's that unhappy self with its story that keeps you from the bliss of God, which would be the third component of your authentic self, the being, the awareness, and the bliss. So shift that unhappy, grumbling self into a state of consciousness that is grateful and appreciative of everything. You know, just shift it to whatever. But you'll notice that the minute you do that, you negate fear and anger, which are the two major hangouts for the false self or the ego mind. And it's impossible to feel fear and anger and gratitude and appreciation at the same time. So the greatest gift that you can give another human being is appreciation. And the greatest offering of love that you can give to your Creator is gratitude. So there you have it. Three ways to connect with your authentic state of eternal being. One, to dive deep into the inner silence until you arrive at the place of inner stillness and peace. Two, to locate and identify with your internal energy body, which is located inside your physical form, but not limited by that form. And three, to shift into gratitude and appreciation. The moment the ego raises its gnarly head. So you have a treasure trove of stored up merit, gleaned from innumerable lifetimes in which you've walked the path of light and love and selfless service. You can't even calculate the amount of merit that has brought you to the place where you are interested in listening to what we share each week. Because we cut to the chase. We go directly into the source of suffering, directly into the source of all discontent and misery, and show you very clearly the way out of that, permanently and forever. So tonight we want to look at the quantum leap. The great divine incarnation, Satya Sai Baba, has taught that consciousness advances from one stage to the next, not gradually, but by quantum leaps. So when the cycle comes to a point of collective readiness, a quantum leap to the next stage occurs. Now, currently, human consciousness has reached that point of collective readiness where we are poised to make that quantum leap. That quantum leap has been called the ascension, the shift of the ages, our entrance into the seventh golden age, the fifth world. It's been called many things. Esoterically, it's been called the shift from the third dimension to the fifth. In other words, from human to superhuman consciousness. I want to share what Sai Baba has to say about that state of consciousness. And this was from a question posed by my late friend, who was a very, very great devotee of Sai Baba, Dr. John Hyslop. And I can highly recommend any books by Dr. Hyslop, H-I-S-L-O-P, because he, and I was with him in many interviews with Sai Baba, he always was able to ask those questions that we wished we could ask, but for one reason or another, we're usually too stunned to silence to think of asking. But he not only asked the questions, he wrote them down with a very good memory thereafter and published them in several different books. Some of them, at least one of them, is entitled Conversations with Sai Baba, which is extremely interesting. So he's quoting Sai Baba, whom he calls Swami. And I'm reading from his book, Seeking Divinity. At the appropriate time, said Swami, the jivi, or individualized self, made a quantum leap, like that from the mineral to the vegetable. When the appropriate stage was reached, then the jivi made a quantum jump from the vegetable to the animal kingdom. Then when the next stage was reached, the jivi made a quantum leap again, from the animal to the human, and that is, he became man, or what we call Homo sapien. So what is the next stage after that? Swami said the next stage is superhuman man. Not ordinary man, but superhuman man. So I asked Swami, Swami, what is superhuman man? Is it like those people in the Himalayan mountains who can walk through mountains and fly in the air? And Swami said, no, those are just people trying to get liberation. I found that really interesting. Swami said that superhuman means a human being who is no longer concerned with human affairs, who has overcome all of the emotions, all the wrong thoughts, everything that makes man the varied individual that he is. And then I said, well, who are these people, Swami? And Sai Baba named a number of ancient saints. And he said those people had finished completely with the human concerns. Any action they engaged in was solely for the benefit of humanity. They had no ego. Well, Swami, those are people who lived a long time ago. How about now? Are there any such people now? Sai Baba answered, oh yes, certainly. Then I said, but Swami, we do not see them. And Swami replied, here in India, you might find some in the foothills of the Himalayas. But if you were to locate such a person and follow him, tap him on the shoulder and ask him to help you, he would just turn away. He would refuse because he knows there is nothing he can do. You have to do it yourself. So I asked Swami, are there people like that in the United States? Oh, yes. But Swami, we do not see them. People like that always keep a very low profile. They are never known. Swami said the next stage after the superhuman was the spiritual. And he said you go from the superhuman to the cosmic, I believe he said it was, and the state where you're in the pure spiritual state, not actually in a form, but more like currents of spiritual life. So, with some of my additions, that's basically where the conversation went. And he asked also, what is the ego? And Sai Baba said, the ego is the reflection of God on the concept of a body or body consciousness, which I thought was really interesting too. So the ego is the reflection of the Atma on body consciousness. So you can be detached and watch all of its antics and yet be quite free from it. So humanity is moving from physical human to divine human. In other words, humanity is moving from the third-dimensional animal-human kingdom and is uniting with the fifth-dimensional kingdom of souls. So that's why we speak so much of bringing your soul and of coming, not bringing your soul because you are the soul, of integrating yourself as the soul or as the monad, which is an even higher level, into the physical body. You have to incorporate those levels. And then they subsume themselves into your physical being. In other words, you don't have to leave your body. In fact, I don't even know if it's possible to acquire this after you've left the body. I have to ask Bob about that. I don't know. But I do know that it's very important to be that here and now in full conscious awareness in order to master this level. At least that's my understanding. So it's what the three Sai Baba avatars have come to catalyze, implement, and manifest as the golden age of truth that's now dawning. Shirdi Sai Baba, who came at the turn of the 20th century, represented Shiva, or the father aspect. Shiva is the aspect of God beyond illusion. It's the part of the consciousness that is one with God without any illusion, and the part of God that destroys the ego and renders it to an ash, which is why Shiva is known for the production of vibhuti, or that sacred ash. Now, Satya Sai Baba embodies Shiva Shakti, the father-mother aspect of God. and as such, is incorporated within himself the perfect blending of the male and the female energies, or Father, Mother, God. Now, Prema Sai Baba, although in a male form, will embody the Shakti principle. And 3 or 4 days ago, I had my first experience on the inner plane with Prema Sai Baba. I fell absolutely in love instantly. I have never seen a more beautiful being in all my life. He was dressed in a long white robe, completely plain. He had shoulder-length, pitch-black hair, very dark brown eyes, fair skin, no beard, and was a youth, I would say, his late teens, maybe his mid-teens, or his early, or maybe 20. And was the most beautiful being I have ever, ever seen in my life. And I have no doubt that when he manifests, and we see him, that he will be taken to be Jesus returned, or the Christ returned. And they won't be far off, because he embodies what we would call and know as the Christ, or the Christ consciousness, which is that anointed pure love that's one with the Father. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. And I spent time with him and spoke to him a lot. But that's probably not something I can share over a radio show. So, that which is called a golden age of truth is simply the kingdom of souls infused with the human kingdom, which is then living in loving peace and harmony. So Sai Baba has said that the people who will reside in this golden age will be characterized by love. Those who are unwilling or unable to live in that higher state of loving will be moved on to a place more in keeping with their preference to await a future quantum leap. However, for you, the time is now. Why do I say that? Well, because you would have no conscious awareness of what I'm talking about, nor would you have any patience to listen to it, nor would you, get this, even be brought to anybody who would tell you about these things that I speak about each week. They would not even be in your realm of options if it were not your time. For you, the time is now, because your previous lifetimes of spiritual merit, your longing for God, the levels of attainment that you have already accrued, have earned you access to these higher spiritual teachings. Your own spiritual merit, think about it, earned from lifetimes of ardent spiritual seeking and walking the path of selfless service. You've probably been a monk and a nun and many, many different spiritual lineages and paths. You've probably even possibly been incarnated with the time of Jesus, or Buddha, or Rama, or Krishna, or Shirdi Baba, or now it's the time of Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, and Prema Sai, who has, I understand, been born. So, your devotion to God, your interest in things spiritual, have placed you where you could now hear and learn and practice the way to step completely free of the wheel of karma and reincarnation through these teachings. So it's divine grace that has come in this form, in answer to your heart's longing to know, love, and serve God. If it were not for your good merit, earned in previous lifetimes, being met by divine response in the form of grace, you would never have ever heard of the possibility of a life beyond the physical animal levels. In fact, Sai Baba has said that the average human life is not even human
it's still animal, because the animal has hatred and anger and greed and all the warring tendencies and the self-preserving energies. All of that stuff is animal, the envy and all the negativity is not human. The human has the capacity to know, love, and serve God, has the capacity for empathy and compassion. And that's what makes it different from the animal. So not all are ready for liberation. This is something we have to remember when we're dealing with spouses or family members or children or grandchildren that seem to have no interest whatsoever in the spiritual life. Or relatives, we all have them. You have to let them do what they're going to do, because every fruit has its time to ripen on the tree of life. And you can't have all the fruits ripen at the same time, because then the whole cosmic drama would come to a halt. And we need to keep the cosmic drama, the cosmic schools of the education of soul, and Earth University being one, we have to keep them open for the matriculation and educating and experiencing of souls. Plus, another fact is that many of the animals that are currently animals that are domesticated or who interact closely with humanity are getting ready to take their first human incarnation. So, there's always going to be new souls coming in. And that's their quantum leap, you know, from the animal kingdom to take their first incarnation in the human kingdom. In fact, we asked Sai Baba about his elephant, Sai Gita. I know when Sai Baba used to leave, I would stand sometimes with that elephant looking at the room where Swami would stay and crying with her. She'd be shedding tears. I'd be shedding tears. And I knew for a fact that was a conscious being in that elephant form. Someone asked Sai Baba if she had been a human before, because someone had said, oh, she'd been a great Indian princess and took the elephant form just to be with Swami. And Sai Baba said, oh, that's nonsense. He said, however, her next incarnation, she will be born a woman devotee. So you see, Sai Gita, the elephant, was going to take her next life as a human being. So, your own spiritual merit gleaned from lifetimes of ardent seeking and walking the path and being devoted to God have placed you where you could finally hear the secret of liberation itself. And that is through divine grace coupled with your own good merit earned in previous lifetimes. Sai Baba told us that we could not calculate the merit that you would have to come to his ashram, Prashanti Nilayam, and spend one night or have one little tiny glimpse of his physical form. He said you cannot even calculate the merit that has earned you that experience. And I have to say, the merit that has given you a human birth upon earth. You have no idea. Baba says we have no idea how extremely fortunate and difficult it is to get a human birth. Moreover, at the time of a major incarnation of God. Sai Baba said that because we wondered why he was, you never see Baba do any form of spiritual practice. But when he does certain rituals, he always uses the icon or the image or the form, the Murti, divine image, of Shirdi Sai Baba, his previous incarnation. And one time he said something astounding. He said, with the incarnation of Shirdi Sai Baba, who was the king of the universe and appeared as a beggar in rags, that that was the first time that humanity could worship God directly and consciously in the physical form. He said at the time of Jesus, for example, only about 500 people knew of him, and he only traveled to a few areas. At the time of Rama, the first great avatar, the only people that knew him, and they really didn't know who he was other than a king, were the people in Ayodhya, the city where he was born. At the time of Lord Krishna, only the gopis, which were really reincarnated rishis, only the milkmaids, the gopis, were really aware of the identity of Krishna. And even they fell into the Maya. And he too was located in one area for his life. So only at the time of Satya Sai Baba have millions throughout the world become aware that God had taken embodiment in that form, which is always a manifestation of the Savior aspect or the Vishnu aspect of God. He had actually taken embodiment and could be known and recognized in that form at that time. Sai Baba has also said that the gurus today are not good because they're tainted with ego. So this is the time when you can take God yourself as your guru. And by definition, God is located within you as your conscience. That is the voice of God. That is the presence of the Atma or the Spirit indwelling you. It is that, again, that sense of existence and connection with that existence that comes forward as a natural sense of what is right and what is wrong. And that speaks to you through your conscience. And in determining listen to your conscience and ask it if there's anything in this action I'm thinking of doing that will harm me or another. The answer is always no. So that's your criterion for right action. It must be completely harmless to you and to anyone else. So you can see, you know, just by looking at our behavior on the planet, how out of touch we are with that part of ourselves. So, can you also imagine that if we obey just that one thing, if all of us obey that one directive, do no harm to yourself and do no harm to anyone else, how the world would be transformed overnight? And that's exactly what Sai Baba is doing from within each one of us. He's awakening our conscience. He's awakening our sense of being, of existence. He's awakening our dormant and latent divine self and fanning the flames of that divine purifying fire that burns away the dross so that we can manifest more and more of that at the conscious level. And by doing that, awaken fully from the dream. So not all are ready for liberation. And consequently, not all are being offered the opportunity to awaken from this ego-projected world and human identity. Their time will come again. But for whatever reason, it's not their time now. I think it could be, but it's just not their fate, perhaps. It's not their destiny. So many people are quite content, as we all know, with their mundane lives. And they're seeking happiness in the things of the physical world and whatever is offered here in the third dimension, and they have no interest in God, nor do they have any hunger to explore beyond their daily meal. So that seems hard to imagine, I know, right? But out of the 8.5 billion or so humans on this planet, only a comparative handful will ardently seek and attain liberation from obligatory karmic rebirth on Earth. And this radio show is for you. And that's why I call you the Closet Christs, so that you can awaken and exit the closet, whatever that is for you that keeps you confined in smallness, and emerge as that great and godly being that is your nature and true self. So some of the signs that it is your time to undertake this quantum leap is your interest, hunger, and longing, and commitment to the things of spirit. Another sign is that the teachings have come to your attention, and you've been drawn to seek, study, learn, and practice these spiritual precepts. Another sure sign is that the teacher, the master, has appeared, because you're now ready. The teacher may come in dreams, vision, through the teachings, through a series of teachers, and finally physically, where you recognize this is your master teacher and lineage. The physical teacher, in my understanding, is very necessary for the final liberation. For each step must be taken consciously by self-election, coupled with personal effort and direct realization. Now, the sound current masters that I speak of a lot generally say that once you've been initiated into the divine light and sound currents by a physical master, if not in this very lifetime, within the next four lifetimes you will attain liberation. And that is what they teach. Sai Baba has said that all of those whom he has called to serve in his mission of reestablishing righteousness upon a firm footing have arrived at the place where they are beginning to awaken to the divine truth. So they are ready to hear and know the truth that will set them free. And that is the very secret of liberation itself that Sai Baba has said he has come to give. So speaking as the divine avatar, as God himself, Sai Baba has emphatically stated that all of humanity will come to him, if not in this life, within the next 10 lifetimes. I find that extremely encouraging. So by coming to him, Sai Baba is not implying to his particular form, but to God by whichever name and form are dearest to you. Because God is one, regardless of the name and form one adores. So it's man that creates the religions of the world. God is beyond all religion, all definition, all boundaries that we set and try to confine truth to and within. And if you observe, you'll notice that religions are created by people impacted by the presence of some great soul that has graced history. But it's always the devotees or the followers or the people of the times that create these religions. But once one has realized the truth that all is one divine presence, that God alone is all that exists, that person transcends all religious doctrine and is easily content and at home in any place in which God, by any name and form, is venerated. So once the realization dawns that one is free to go and sit at the feet of any teacher, once you realize it's all one, you can go where you go and sit at the feet of any teacher and imbibe the truth by any fountain, seeing them all as the one beloved. However, before that dawns, that transcendental realization comes, you should actually follow one master, one path, one teaching, until full realization is attained. And that's how Baba always guides us. So the name and the form come as one unit. They come back to back. Whoever you name, the form is present. So the name and the form must be of that one that's chosen as your, what's called in Sanskrit, the Ishta Devata, or chosen ideal. That's why it's very important to, follow your heart in spiritual matters, so that you don't follow another person's teachings. In fact, Sai Baba said that the terrorist activity and the negative, awful things people are doing are simply because they are following the inflammatory rhetoric of other people, and they're not thinking, they're not using common sense, they're not obeying their conscience. They're following others. And you'll know that that's true if you examine what's going on the planet. These people are not in their right minds. They're not thinking for themselves. They have become hypnotized or programmed or heavily influenced by the rhetoric of a doctrine or somebody that's out there with a loud voice and is inflaming them to create mayhem. So know that grace has positioned you, who are listening, for that quantum leap. It is your time to go for it with all you've got, while at the same time fully surrendering to the divine spirit. I want to share with you another portion from that book, Seeking Divinity by Dr. Hislop, where he asked Sai Baba about liberation, and Sai Baba said there were three kinds of liberation, and two of them were impermanent, which kind of freaked him out. And so he asked Sai Baba to go into that a little bit, and Sai Baba said that one form of impermanent liberation is when a person is walking in the midst of a city, for example, and suddenly, without warning, becomes totally and completely liberated. In other words, all of a minute, he is free of illusion, he knows himself as omnipresent consciousness, he knows that all of this is consciousness, but then it does not last. The second form of temporary liberation is where, say for example, a devotee, perhaps in a cave in the Himalayas or somewhere else, is sitting and meditating strenuously and suddenly has a flash of total liberation. Totally and completely liberated. But that experience also passes. Sai Baba has said that for liberation, which never changes, for the liberation that's eternal, for that, the mind must be surrendered to God. The mind is surrendered to God when the realization dawns that there is nothing except God. Now, does not work to say, "Dear God, I surrender my mind to you." Because if you're not in control of your mind, how can you offer something that is not under your control? You know, you can't even control your own thoughts, so how are you going to offer them to God? So total liberation means total surrender. The Atma can be described as the inner consciousness, the inner conscience, and as such is the master of our life. And it should rule the body, the senses, and the mind. Sai Baba says, with respect to the senses, you must, by divine will, force your mind to do what it should do. So we need to be very, very proactive in bringing ourselves into alignment with our higher nature. Sai Baba goes on to describe liberation. Liberation simply means that the delusions, the maya, that now blind us and makes us think that each one of us is a separate, unique individual, that maya, that error falls away. When we see things as they really are and realize that we ourselves are divine, we achieve liberation. But to achieve liberation, according to Swami, is a totally wrong idea in one sense, because we're in actuality always liberated. Liberation is the eternal state of our being, our truth, our authentic self. If it were not eternal, what would be the point of trying to get it? You would get it, and then time would pass, and it would fall away. So liberation is an eternal state that everyone here is totally and fully existing in at all times. So the question has to be asked, why do you think you're not liberated? Why do we think that we are all separate individuals with all sorts of troubles? Well, simply because we hold on to that idea that we're separate individuals. People here will know the name of the great sage Ramana Maharshi. He said the way to attain liberation is to stop believing that you're not liberated. That is the only obstacle between you and liberation. The two paths that Sai Baba speaks about are ways to get rid of the delusion and the maya that make us think that we are completely separate from God. Sai Baba says that this is man's original sin, to hold the idea that he is separate, unique, and individual, separate from God. He also really dislikes it when we use the word sinner to describe ourselves, and he has forbidden the chanting of any kind of shloka or mantra that implies that you're a sinner or bound by sin or any of that, or any songs that have to do with that from being sung in the ashram. And he said, if you keep saying you're a sinner, you'll be a sinner. If you keep saying you're human, you'll continue being a human. But if you say, I am God, I am no different from God, I am the indivisible supreme absolute, I am being, awareness, bliss, I am ever content and free, fear, grief can never affect me. If we keep saying that over and over, then we begin to call forward our own divinity. So there's two paths, basically, that we can adopt, probably more, but these are the two that he is describing. One is a way to get rid of the false idea that we are separate from God, and that is the path of wisdom. And that's the path of jnana yoga, and it's a bit difficult in the sense that it is relentless self-inquiry into who am I? Who am I? Am I the body? No. Am I the mind? No. Am I the feelings and emotions? No. Am I the passing moods? No. What is behind all of that? Who is watching? Who is aware? What is the I? You know, questions of that nature. And you keep going relentlessly into that. Who am I? Who am I? Until finally you, through the mind and through study and through detachment, you realize the truth. The other path is the path of devotion. And on that path, it's been likened to the kitten that stays in one place and doesn't have to worry about its safety because the mother cat does everything for it and carries it to safety if need be. So the path of devotion is like the path of the kitten. And Sai Baba has said that if you are truly devoted to me and if you are fully surrendered to me, I will take complete care of you. I will bear the burden of your complete welfare. You need not fear or think of anything. You will never be poor or unhappy. I will take care of you. That is the path of devotion. And the path of devotion is the path favored by Sai Baba as the main path for most of us. The other path, the path of jnana, jnana yoga, or wisdom, is like that of the little monkey. The little monkey has to jump on its mother's back or her tummy, grab hold and hold on for dear life while the mother jumps through the trees to wherever she's going. So the little monkey has to use its own strength and its own ability right from the very start if it is going to survive. So that's where you have to do something for your own salvation, for realizing your Godhead and realizing your liberation. One time I was in an interview where Sai Baba said that we actually have to work like a karma yogi. We have to devote all of our actions to God, allow God to be the doer through us. We need to have devotion and love for God like the bhakti yogi, and we need to have the wisdom of the jnani yogi. So we have to have all of those three, and that's the ideal. So Baba still says that the path of devotion during the time of this Kali Yuga, the end of this Kali Yuga, is the best path because it's the path where you repeat the name of God. And by that means, you purify the mind, you dissolve mountains of karma, and you keep the Lord near and dear to you at all times, because whenever you think of the name, the form is there, the presence is there. So devotion is love for God, and that is the meaning of devotion, is to love God. And a devotee is one who loves God. So how are you going to love God? Well, the main thing is that you need to go beyond to what the preachers and the churches and the clergy and what you've read in the Bible and develop a direct, personal, intimate relationship with God. In India, you can take God as the father, the mother, your best friend, your child. There are all these different ways that you can interact with God. I personally have practiced every single one of them, and I have personally had dreams with Sai Baba and also physical experiences where he manifested to me as the father, as the mother, as the beloved, the lover, the child, the play of Krishna and Radha, and the play of Shiva and Shakti, and the play of Jesus and Mary. I've had all of those divine encounters, let's put it that way. So I've pretty much had the experience of cultivating such an intimate relationship with the beloved that, oh golly, he's within, he's without, he's to the right, the left, above, below. I live and move and have my being in him. I am in him, he is in me, we are one. And if you imagine right now, since God is omnipresence and omnipresent, just reach out your hand, and wherever your hand reaches into space, feel the hand of God. Feel the hand of your beloved. Take the hand of your beloved right now. Oh my gosh, I feel a warmth right over my hand now. I feel an actual physical hand grasping mine. That's how near and dear God is to you physically. But more so, God is the one that's breathing you and beating your heart. God is the one breathing you and beating your heart. However, having said that, when your heart stops beating physically and your breath stops physically, you're still in God, and God is still in you, and you're eternally one and never separated. But practice experiencing the presence wherever it is that you're seated. Sai Baba said that the devotee is greater than God because by devotion, the devotee can make God his slave. Yes, he can bind God by his devotion. Sai Baba sometime has been seen to abruptly stop a trip, make the driver turn around and go back to his college because he said the devotion of his students was pulling him so hard he couldn't proceed with his trip. So bring God into your life in every way you can. Create a place for God in your life, at your dinner table, on your altar, in a special chair set aside for the Lord, in your daily thoughts. Imagine God sitting next to you when you drive your car, walking side by side when you're walking down the street, sitting next to you in your work cubicle or wherever you work. Create an ongoing relationship with God. And talk to God all the time. Anything, everything. Talk to God as if there were no holds barred. You're talking to your dearest friend. You're 100% safe. You can argue. You can harangue. You can praise. You can do or say anything. And you are unconditionally loved and safe. I remember spending a night in the apartment of the great devotees, Walter and Elsie Cowan. And Walter Cowan is the man that Sai Baba had resurrected from the dead, that I've told the story several times. But anyway, she couldn't meditate, but I was sleeping in the couch just below the loft where she had her bedroom, which was open, an open loft. And she sat at her dresser table in front of a picture of Sai Baba and talked to him all night. And it was so fascinating, I didn't sleep. I just stayed awake and listened. And she was talking to him like he would talk to your dearest, most trusted confidant. She was talking about the Sai Baba Center they had, about the people that she was praying for and working with, about all sorts of things that she would think to bring up. And the relationship was so intensely palpable that, you know, it really deeply touched me. And so if you have that kind of relationship, in fact, Sai Baba said that actually is meditation, real meditation, when you're constantly relating with God. You know, you're not relating with God, but you're constantly immersed in that presence. It's also whenever you inquire into who am I, why am I here, what's the purpose of life, who is God, where is God, you know, that line of inquiry. Sai Baba also describes as meditation. So maybe you can't sit still and quiet your mind. Give your thoughts to God. Don't worry about it. But develop that intense relationship where you talk to God, commune with God, think of God, and create space for that presence to manifest in every single crevasse of your life. And Sai Baba said also, if you have a bad habit, whether it's drinking or smoking or drugs or whatever your thing is, before you indulge in it, offer it to God. Offer your cigarette to God. Offer your alcoholic drink to God. Offer your drug, whatever, to God. Offer that action that you're doing that you know probably is not the good thing to do to God. And by doing that, it will gradually of its own self fall away. I promise you that's true because I've done it. And one by one, bad habits have simply fallen away. So whatever you offer to God is purified, and it turns from an addiction to a form of spiritual practice. And that's what you want to do, is to make your whole life from morning to night a spiritual practice, a yoga, that which unites you with the divine. So it looks like we've run out of time, and these are some of the few things I wanted to share. I have many more things, but that can await another time. I hope this has been helpful. Be intentional, be intense, and make that quantum leap from a mere human to a superhuman, and perhaps even beyond that. So, let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Anai Hu.
Anai Hu. Anai Hu.
I bless you all, that you may awaken fully to your divine self and have the most glorious quantum leap into your freedom. Namaste.